Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, the hunt has already intensified for the Islamic terrorists who have attacked London, apparently Islamic terrorists. There is an organization calling itself the Secret Group of Al-Qaeda's Jihad in Europe. And that name, titles like that for these terrorist groups, these state and national chapters, apparently are becoming common. Like there's the Al-Qaeda in Iraq organization that claims responsibility for terrorist acts committed there against Iraqis and other foreigners. So in London, it happened about 9 o'clock this morning, their time, about 4 a.m. Eastern time in the U.S. There were four blasts that went off within an hour, three in the subway system, which, of course, is horrifying. It's terrifying to get back on a subway tomorrow. The authorities said that the subway lines will be open tomorrow. And regardless, whenever they are open, to get back on will take courage. And also a double-decker bus was destroyed in four blasts. And at least 40 people have been reported dead and more than 700 wounded. And this was the worst attack on London since World War II. So who is responsible? Well, of course, not only the Brits, but America, our efforts and efforts by governments around the world will now look to see who has done this. And it will not be a surprise to find out that it was Islamic terrorists. And the terrorists, we are certainly in the midst of a new world war. And the terrorists, thankfully for their stupidity and wickedness and obsession, they're unable to restrain themselves. And they're making the same kind of error that Adolf Hitler made, which helped to lead to his defeat, basically attacked everybody. When you attack everybody, you're going to have a hard time winning. And so even though there are so many liberals in America and Europe who would like to make excuses for the terrorists and would like to give in to any number of their demands, saying the terrorist actions are really not the fault of the terrorist, they're the fault of the evil whoever, the rest of the world. And they don't understand that if you give in, liberals generally don't understand that when you give in to the demands of criminals, you get more crime. You don't get less crime. It's a bit too complicated for liberals to think through, but a child can understand it. When you give in to terrorists, if you pay off kidnappers, do you get less kidnapping or more kidnapping? You get more kidnapping. And the same thing with terrorism generally. So what we see that the terrorists have done, of course, they attacked America on 9/11, and we had 3,000 dead. Now they've attacked Britain on 7/7, July 7th, and they have about 40 dead so far. And remember Indonesia, they attacked the Bali nightclub, which also targeted many Australians. Israel has had hundreds murdered from terrorist attacks, terrorist bombings, suicide bombings, which, if you recall, they were openly funded by Iraq, right? Iraq's government openly funded terrorist suicide attacks on Jews, and liberals seem to be willing to tolerate that. That's obviously right there is sufficient justification for destroying the government of Iraq, for going in and taking out Saddam Hussein and his government, let alone his own mass murder of Iraqis and filling of mass graves and systematic torture of Iraqis and the rape of Iraqi women, wives and daughters in front of Saddam's enemies to terrorize his own people. I mean, in the French, they have an infinite degree of tolerance for crimes against humanity. And they hate George Bush more than they love the Iraqi people. And so, therefore, they wouldn't mind, really, if the Iraqis continued to live under that kind of wicked oppression and a criminal government as long as George W. Bush was not the one who liberated them. So we understand that. And the conservatives here, you know, we've done a reasonably good job of explaining why the war was justified, but we could have done a better job. And it would have been good if one of our leaders, maybe a cowboy congressman in Washington, when Jacques Chirac was complaining about us going after Saddam and invading Baghdad, one of them should have made it clear and said, President Chirac, in Paris, if you start filling mass graves and doing the kind of crimes that Saddam Hussein has been doing, we'll invade Paris. We would take you down. We would occupy your country if you started committing the same kind of criminal acts that Saddam's doing. So stop complaining. Stop whining. So the terrorists have attacked America. They've attacked Britain now with this horrendous, these horrendous bombings today. Indonesia, right, which also killed many Australians. Israelis, hundreds dead from terrorist attacks, which were openly funded by Iraq until we got rid of Saddam Hussein. Russia, they've attacked Russia, right? The Muslim Islamic separatists, that's another word for terrorist. They remember what they did to Russia, blowing up planes, two planes simultaneously. They took a theater and killed a number of people in the theater. The school that they took over and indiscriminately killed parents, teachers, children, shooting children in the back as they're running away from the school. This is all Islamic terrorism. And they've attacked Pakistan. And, of course, they're, you know, threatening Europe generally and the world. Now, Spain and France were both attacked, but, of course, they surrendered. Right? That's the normal thing France does. You attack France, they surrender. The French, they had their tanker bombed off the coast of Yemen. And the Spaniards, they, remember, were bombed in Madrid with 200 dead and 1,400 injured. And these terrorists, these Islamic terrorists, they're also attacking Muslims in big numbers. I mean, that's who they're killing in Iraq primarily, is they're intentionally killing Muslims, especially Shiite Muslims. And it's the Americans who are trying to protect the Iraqi civilians. And it's the Iraqis and Arabs who are terrorists who are trying to kill the Iraqi civilians. So the liberals who object are confused. They're confused. And when the terrorists in Iraq could go to families and say, you're going to resist America's liberating our country or we will kill your children and we'll torture you, then, of course, those terrorists, they're able to make things very difficult in Iraq. And the liberals pounce on that. And they say, see what a terrible job we're doing? And, of course, they encourage the terrorists. And they do. And one of the main reasons the world has been so against our prosecuting of this war against terror is because the world generally, I'm talking about the Western world, the progressive world, Europe, America, the liberals in America, our universities, many in government, our media, and Australia, New Zealand, the intelligentsia, the places of higher learning, they have this hatred toward moral clarity. If anybody makes a statement of moral clarity, to them, that is the greatest enemy. And so we had the commencement addresses at universities on the East Coast, and I got to speak at the commencement at a graduation here in Colorado a few weeks back. I was the graduation speaker at Maranatha Christian Center for their senior class. And during my talk, I quoted from other commencement speakers like New York's Columbia University, where the commencement speakers, including George Will, who's supposed to be what, conservative, Republican? And they were saying the great enemy that the world faces today. And you think, what are they going to say? Islamic terrorism? Are they going to say those who've thrown off morality? What are they going to say? The great enemy of the world today is those who believe in truth. If you believe in truth, you are the enemy of the world. And they explicitly said, if you believe that you know where you came from, if you believe in a personal creator, you are the greatest threat to the world today. And that's what our graduating seniors heard. You know, I didn't look at all the commencement speeches around the country. I was going to speak at a high school graduation. So I thought, well, let me read a couple of the speeches at a couple universities. And that's what I found out. That's the greatest threat to the world are people who believe in truth and people who believe in a personal God, that God created us. That's according to George Will, who conservative Republicans, they think he's on our side. He is the enemy, just like Alberto Gonzalez is the enemy. And by the way, this attack in London, this every time terrorist attack since George W. Bush became president, of course, it emboldens him, as it should. When you're fighting a war against terror, as the enemy attacks, you should get stronger. And you should become more determined. Sadly, because we're in the midst of selecting a new Supreme Court justice, the way his mind works, he will use this attack to increase his justification and desire to nominate strongly pro-abortion Judge Alberto Gonzalez, former Texas Supreme Court justice. Now, why would Bush use an attack in London by terrorists to up his desire to see Alberto Gonzalez put on the U.S. Supreme Court for life as a radical pro-abortion justice? Well, it's because Alberto Gonzalez was with Bush in the White House. He was his chief legal counsel when we were attacked. And when you're attacked, you grow closer to the people close to you. And Alberto Gonzalez has been strongly loyal to Bush in waging the war on terror, you know, in his perverse and demented way, being a child killer and all. And so Bush, I hope and expect he'll be persuaded not to nominate Alberto Gonzalez because of the extraordinary anger that it would cause to Christian pro-life conservatives, not to people who are traitors, not to men like Hugh Hewitt, right? Probably not to men like Jay Sekulow. I mean, Jay Sekulow, head of the American Center for Law and Justice, when Alberto Gonzalez just a year ago was nominated to be the head of the Justice Department in America, the Attorney General, head of the FBI, basically, FBI is part of the Justice Department. Jay Sekulow, one of the leading Christian pro-life conservatives in the nation, went out of his way to compliment and to endorse Alberto Gonzalez, who's a rabid child killer, whose position on abortion is the same as John Kerry's. Well, I'm personally opposed. Well, that doesn't count for anything. Alberto Gonzalez never met a baby as a judge. He never met a baby he didn't want to kill. So that's his position. And George W. Bush wants, above anything else at this point in his presidency, to get Gonzalez on the Supreme Court. But the Christians have thrown down the gauntlet. I mean, we should have done that back when George W. Bush was a primary candidate. And he said, I'm going to ignore abortion when I nominate judges. Back when he said that, when he said, it is not my goal to overturn Roe v. Wade. Back when he said those things, we should have thrown down the gauntlet then. Say, we're not going to tolerate that. We're not going to support a candidate who further entrenches the legal killing of unborn children by those kind of wicked comments. That's evil. It's evil, right? It's evil to say, if you were living in Germany and you're trying to be a leader and you said, I'm going to ignore the killing of Jews when it comes to nominating judges and officials, that would be evil. And why did our Christian leaders, they didn't even consider when George Bush said things like that, and he said them repeatedly in over a period of years. So the National Right to Life Committee gave him a 100% pro-life rating. Now, why would that be? He packed the Texas Supreme Court and Texas courts with pro-abort judges. So how could he get 100% pro-life rating? Because our Christian leaders assume that when Bush said those things, he was lying. So we assume he's lying. He doesn't mean those things. And I would ask when I'd interview some conservative Christian who did not have any kind of significant political savvy or insight, or was not good at political strategy, wasn't even good at pragmatics, just confused. And I would say, Bush is not lying when he says that. And they'd say, oh, no, he's just saying that to get elected. Now, if that's true, that's evil. You don't appear complacent about the killing of Jews or the lynching of blacks in order to get elected. That's evil. It's evil, just that. But they'd say, well, he was lying, which is evil. That should be enough to disqualify him. To appear complacent. I mean, when you campaign, you're teaching tens of millions of people right from wrong. When you campaign, your campaign slogans are teaching people right from wrong. As does all political strategy, teaches people right from wrong. That's why we have Priscilla Owen, one of our darling pro-life conservative Christian Republican judges who intentionally killed baby 10. Because our political strategy has informed her. It's taught her for the last quarter century. She's become the kind of judge that our Christian national ministries have been asking for. A judge who will uphold the Constitution. And the Constitution requires lower court judges to uphold Supreme Court rulings. So do you see the mess we're getting ourselves into? And so George W. Bush, who does he have a greater commitment to? The unborn child or a child killer named Alberto Gonzalez who helped him out when it came to how are we going to treat inmates at Guantanamo Bay? Right? We have a prison there in Gitmo, and we're going to use some interrogation techniques that are a bit forceful because we think some of these guys, you know, one of the guys there was involved with planning a 9/11. And other guys there may certainly, I mean, they'd kill you, they'd kill your family, they'd kill everyone you know, given the opportunity. And so we try to get information out of them to find out if there were any other terrorist attacks planned. And Alberto Gonzalez said, hey, we could be a little more forceful than we usually are. As a general rule, that's an appropriate decision. And so George W. Bush, for all his love and commitment and devotion to the child killer Alberto Gonzalez, after going through 9/11, that relationship was extremely solidified. It's natural, right? It's me against my brother, then my brother and I against our cousin, then the three of us against our neighbor, then all of us against the enemy. And so when you're attacked, you get closer to the people who are around you, especially if you're fighting against the enemy together. And so the terrorist attacks have served to further confuse Bush, George W. Bush, about right and wrong. So he is consumed with that issue. And the fact that we kill more American babies every day in America than Islamic terrorists have ever killed of us, that tragic death and slaughter is lost on our pro-life Republican president. It's lost. It's not all that important. And he told us that. And we were so insightful that we assumed he was lying. Isn't that politically naive? Because we had a track record. We had a whole life to look at. And a whole political career through being a governor. So now Bush's determination, not that he will, I still pray that he will not, because the argument to Bush will be that even though he's done, he's done, he's out of the White House soon, a few more years, he's done, but the Republican Party has to go on. And if he just shoves this judicial nomination in the face of pro-life Christians, they're going to be angry. They're going to be angry, and the repercussions might be significant for the Republican Party. In other words, many Christians may refuse to support the Republican Party. And as I can see it, I'd say Bush can reasonably make a decision, a calculation, that pro-life Christians are morons and that they will support the Republican Party no matter who he nominates as a judge, no matter if he puts a pro-abort. What would Hugh Hewitt say? Hugh Hewitt, right? What is he on the air right now? Opposite me? Somewhere? Now, I'm only on a single radio station out of Denver, the most powerful Christian radio station in America, AM 670 KLTT, 50,000 watts. But Hugh Hewitt is on Salem Radio Network all around the country. And so he's got a huge voice. I've got a small voice. We go on the internet, and we have a few hundred families that it's like having a church with a few hundred families. That's the influence we have. Except that our families are smarter than the average family. And so we have a bigger influence than you would think by our numbers. But Hugh Hewitt, what would he say? He would say, well, I think Alberto Gonzalez is a very qualified nominee. He's not my first choice, but he's, you know, the American Bar Association says he's highly qualified. And he had the support of the Texas newspapers when he was a Texas Supreme Court justice. And he has the confidence of the president. After all, the president was elected, Bob. You weren't. And, you know, it's not murder when you kill unborn children. It's not murder because the Supreme Court has ruled that it's legal. That's Hugh Hewitt's position. It's called legal positivism. It's what's destroying the body of Christ because our Christians are so weak that they don't understand how the body of Christ, our political strategy, is undermining morality in our church, in our country, and in the world, because we should be the moral anchor, and we're not. So Hugh Hewitt would say, hey, Alberto Gonzalez, he might not be your first pick, but we need to support the president. We're in a time of war, and he's a good guy, and it's not murder. It's just abortion, which the Supreme Court has said is legal. And then we'd say, well, what if Rudy Giuliani becomes the Republican Party nominee? And Hugh Hewitt has already weighed in on that issue on my show. During the last Republican convention, I asked him, what if Rudy Giuliani is the Republican nominee? And he said, without missing a beat, he said, I'd support him. Rudy Giuliani is not only pro-abortion, he even supports partial birth abortion, which the most wicked people should be able to look at and realize how evil it is. Even people with virtually no conscience, virtually no soul, should be able to look at that slaughter of babies late term, late second, third trimester babies who are brought out of the mother's womb alive with their feet kicking, and the abortionist like George Tiller in Wichita, Kansas. You know, Hillary Clinton, has she ever had a campaign against partial birth abortion? Planned Parenthood, have they opposed it? Jim Frank, the retired professor from CU in Boulder, has he ever opposed it? I don't think so. Well, you take the baby who's mostly out of the womb, and then the abortionist sticks a knife in the back of the baby's neck and kills the baby that way by shoving some kind of a sharp instrument up into the baby's brains and kills the baby. And Rudy Giuliani supports that. So you think Hugh Hewitt is going to criticize George W. Bush for nominating Alberto Gonzalez if that were to happen? So Bush has this big decision to make and the terrorist attack in London. And I hope and pray it doesn't move him to go ahead and nominate Alberto Gonzalez. But an attack like this will extremely intensify his desire to nominate child killer Alberto Gonzalez. And this largely, all of this is because our Christian pro-life political strategy has helped countless thousands of leaders, judges, lawyers, politicians go to bed and sleep comfortably at night, believing they have the support of America's greatest Christian leaders, even though they have embraced policies and actions that convicted Germans at Nuremberg. We executed lawyers at Nuremberg who were upholding the law. We convicted judges, German judges in Nuremberg, for murder. And their defense was, well, it was legal. It's the Priscilla Owens defense for why she killed baby 10 on a technicality. All right, so that's what's happening in the world today. Of course, we need to continue to fight the war on terror. And even though America commits grave wickedness and we slaughter our own children, even though we do that, we still have the right to defend ourselves against murderers, against terrorists. Evil men, even criminals have the right to protect their children against those who would kill them. So in defending America's war on terror, I'm in no way justifying our behavior as a nation generally, because we commit grave wickedness. Hey, we have coming up July 16th, Operation Save America begins, and what a great event this will be. OSA, that's Operation Rescue National, basically. Today, it's OSA, and it's led by Flip Benham, one of the neatest Christian leaders in the country, and their national event is here in Denver. And if you live in Colorado or anywhere in the Denver area, near Denver, we have to thank OSA for helping us fight against our own local child killers. And how do we thank them? We thank them by getting involved, by coming out to one of the nightly rallies at Redeemer Community Church at 32nd and Lowell at 6:30 each night. And we thank them by, if we can, coming out during the day and being involved in the events. We're going to be showing signs at the freeway overpasses of what pro-choice means. We're going to go to the abortion clinics, go to the Capitol. It's going to be a powerful time, and we'd like you to be involved. Also, on August 27th, I am presenting a seminar downtown Denver at the Brown Palace on predestination and free will. It's going to be exciting. How much is it for an adult? $30 for an adult, discount for couples and kids. So call us at 800-8-NYART. Go to kgov.com, find out more. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school.